The World Champion Dodgers have some World Champion podcasts. Don't miss a chance to catch up on Dodger Talk by podcasting it on the iHeartRadio app. Just search Dodger Talk for new episodes every weekday and after each game. AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, here we go on the Friday show. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. 2 hours for us today, Rodney. And I just saw this. I just got an alert on this. Remember the show The Office?
Yep.
Okay. So The Office was very popular on NBC. It was then the most watched show on Netflix. So much so that NBC bought the show back and is now running it on Peacock, their streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
The Office worked. Steve Carell was in it. It was very funny. Well, get ready for a new version of The Office.
Uh-oh.
It is based on the Laker front office. Jeannie Buss is involved in the project, and it's going to be the front office of a basketball team based on the Lakers. Mindy Kaling, who was on The Office, mm-hmm. and then also did the Mindy Project, a really funny, funny woman. She's an executive producer. The writer, one of the writers of Modern Family, is one of the executive producers, and it's going to be on Netflix. 10 episodes. It follows a fictional basketball team. There's a woman in charge. Her best friend is there, so that's Jeannie and Linda Rambis. They won't go by those names in the show, but they're going to do this show based on the Laker front office, the drama surrounding a family owning a business. I wonder if we're going to have a Phil Jackson look-alike in there, dating the owner of the team. But that'll be coming up, and they just announced it today.
Yeah, good stuff. It doesn't surprise me that that's happening. I mean, we've seen movies where it's been behind the scenes of front office and things of that nature, but not quite a series like that. We've seen agent series, Arliss. Remember Arliss? That was kind of a good one, behind the scenes of a sports agent. So this is cool. I think this will be good.
All right, so that'll be coming up and probably next year. Now let's get to it. Tonight, here we go. The Clippers have a chance to do something they have never done before. Will they earn someone's respect if they do it? Some respect in this marketplace? I don't know. They have their fans. The rest of the market either ignores them or thumbs their nose at them. But tonight they can do something they have never done before, advance to the Western Conference Finals. Of course, they have to beat Utah to do that. They're just not going to move in there.
Yes.
But they can advance tonight. Kawhi is not playing. And I think, look, we're not doctors, but we can pretty much assume we're not going to see him this series, right? If it goes to a game seven, I don't think he's going to pull a Willis Reed. I think he's done. So it's on Paul George's shoulders again. Rodney, can they do it tonight?
Yes, they can. Of course they can. They're lacing them up and throwing the ball out. They can certainly win. They won game five. They can certainly win game six at home. They won game seven at home against Dallas. So, yeah, they can certainly do it. Will they do it is a different question. But I think this Clipper team, I think they did. I think they found their mojo a bit. I think, and it's not just Paul George. I think the role players and the other players on the team have stepped up. Reggie Jackson has been phenomenal for them. Marcus Morris has been incredible on both sides of the ball. And so, yeah, they are fully capable. And with all that being said, because those two guys I mentioned, Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson, have been steady throughout the playoffs, it's Paul George. It's going to come down. Paul George has to have the kind of game and kind of night he had in game five and game six tonight for the Clippers to win. The other guys can do their part. And vice versa. Paul George does his part. The other guys got to come through as well. So it's a lot on Paul George, but it's also a lot on the full team aspect of it. And those guys that have been doing it night in, night out, game in after game, have to continue to do that.
And the best part of it is Staples Center can be at full capacity tonight.
Yes.
You got to believe the game will be sold out. And that means we're not going to have to see any more of those stupid cutouts sitting there.
You done with the cutouts, Fred? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Once real human beings were allowed back in the building, even if there were only 8,500 of them, you did not need those stupid cutouts still sitting there. I mean, take them down already. I don't know why the Clippers left them up. It looked idiotic. So the best news is it'll be sold out. Those cutouts will be gone. And yes, the Clippers can do this. We've said all along, and you maintain it, I believe, that they've got to get to the Western Conference Finals with or without Kawhi Leonard. They've got to get there. Now, they have two cracks at doing it. If they lose tonight, they go back to Utah. But if I'm the Clippers, Rodney, I'm looking at this right now as Game 7.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot, you know, you can't go, well, we got a little cushion here. So if we lose, we'll go get them on Sunday. I'm looking at this as Game 7. I'm looking at this like they got to get it done tonight, period.
Yeah, and I think they are too. You hear them talk. Is that this is we want to win it at home. We got to win it. We don't want to go back to Utah. And there's a reason. You know, anything can happen in a Game 7, especially a team like Utah. And Kevin, do we know is Mike Conley playing or no?
He's going to try to play. Yeah. Don't know if he's actually going to be able to or not.
Yeah, right. He's going to warm up, right? And then he'll make a decision?
Yeah, as of now, I believe both he and Donovan Mitchell are questionable. There's very little doubt that Donovan Mitchell is going to play, but he's banged up too. But as far as Conley goes, we're not really sure at this point.
Yeah, and if he does play, you know, how effective will Mike Conley actually be? But no, this is the game. This is what you for all the things we talk about with the Clippers and the narrative that surrounds them over the years of being in the shadow to win this, not only to win this series and get to the Western Conference Finals, but to win it on your home court. It means a lot. It would mean a lot for them to be able to celebrate that on the home court here in LA in front of their home fans to give them something going into the next series. You know, winning it is winning it, and winning on the road, yeah, that could work, but this is a game that they need to go out and say, let's take care of business tonight and win it on our home court, celebrate in front of our own crowd.
As a guy that played, perhaps you better than anybody could talk about this. Every game you want to win, but you know some games are far more important. When you're in the Super Bowl, right? When you're playing for a division title, those games matter a little more than the game the sixth week of the season in Cincinnati. If you're in one of those games, they mean a lot more. Mentally, does it change the way you look at things? Is there more anticipation? Do you get more excited for a game like the Clippers are going to play tonight?
Yeah, you do. Then a regular season game in February, absolutely you do. This is a big moment for the Clippers, and I think the weight of the organization, the players feel what they're trying to finally break through. And certainly, yeah, your anticipation, they can't wait for the game to start tonight. It is one of those guys, I'm sure everyone's getting to the arena early and just waiting for the game to start so they can get into what they do. And so, yeah, there's a level of an excitement that goes up a notch, just like we talk about the level of intensity in the playoffs goes up. Same thing with in all sports, and especially tonight when you can close out a team at home like they can do tonight. That adds to the drama and the excitement and the anticipation of getting ready to play.
Can you come in too excited?
Sure.
Too up for the game?
Yeah. Yeah, you can. And you got to stay within yourself. That is a definite possibility. And, you know, no, I've been on teams where we in a playoff game where guys were overexcited. You know, certain guys that were intense to begin with, but overly excited for the playoff game. And it certainly can happen. We had a guy who was a very good player for us. He was a running back, and he would also return kicks for us, and was very good. It was very helpful because from an offense standpoint, he would always, if he got a chance to return it, we were starting at the 35 or the 45 yard line because he would get a good return for us.
Is this in Detroit?
This is in Philly.
Philly, okay.
Yeah, this was in Philly. So before the game, about an hour before the game, right after we came off the field for warm-up, more like 45 minutes before the game, he is walking around hot. I mean, on 10. I'm ready. We're ready. Let's go. And he had never, he'd not done that before the game. That long. I mean, for straight 30 minutes, he was, let's go. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I can't wait. Let's go. It's our time. It's ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. And he fumbled the open up kick. The ball, one play, they're up 7-0. I'm like, oh no. He wasn't ready.
Oh my God.
Oh, I am not Fred, so don't even ask me saying his name. I'm not gonna do it.
You didn't win that game, did you?
No, we did not.
No, you're right.
We didn't win that game.
Oh, God. Well, let's hope they're not that ready. You know, let's hope the Clippers, you know, try to cushion it a little bit.
Yeah, but that, it can happen. You know, you come out and you're so ready, so pumped up and ready to go that you miss your first 10 shots, you know, or you just overcompensate and you're too aggressive. So you gotta, you know, once the game starts, you kind of revert back to now I'm in the game, now I'm playing, and not try to do too much or make too much happen. Just stay within yourself.
And if they win it tonight, if they do advance to the Western Conference Finals, you point out, I agree, it's huge for the organization. I don't think it increases their footprint in the market very much. It's big for the organization. I don't think it does that much for them in the market. Now, when the Western Conference Finals,
yeah,
okay, then people might start taking notice.
Well, you know, they do that. What will Laker fans say? Well, okay, you made it to the Western Conference Finals. Yeah, okay, get to the finals. Get to the finals, then we'll give you maybe some. And then they get to the finals, and you know, Laker fans go, and a lot of people now like go, okay, go win it, go win it, because you know we got 18 more than you do. So go win it, and then we'll talk. So it's in this town, it'll be difficult. They'll be, again, celebrated outside of L.A. more so than L.A. If they get to the finals for that organization, for the Clipper organization, it'll be a big-time accomplishment. Even if they don't win it, they can tip their hat and say, we got to the finals. But certainly you got to win it. But L.A. would go, well, you got there, but you didn't win it. It's kind of like people forget, unless we bring it up, that the Rams actually went to the Super Bowl not too long ago, right? It's like, yeah, but they didn't win it, and nobody really cares. Nobody really cares that they went to the Super Bowl. I mean, we have to remind ourselves, and we have to remind, you know, Jared Goff and the Rams, they did go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But they didn't win it.
No, because what did Dave Roberts say? Yeah. In this city, to be relevant, you got to win.
Yeah.
You got to win it all. That's how you develop relevance. Because look at it like this. There are two teams in the market that stand out, always have, always will. And if you don't root for either one of these, okay, sorry, it's just the truth. It's the Dodgers and the Lakers.
Yeah.
They are LA's teams by far. You go, well, who's number three, Rodney? Who's number three on that list? You know who number three on that list is? Whoever's winning.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, yeah, the only reason you're rooting for those teams is because you're a bandwagon fan and you're just jumping on board. No. The only reason you're rooting for those teams is because you finally heard about them because they were able to break through and develop some relevance. That's why.
Yeah.
In a market like this, to be relevant, you've got to be in the conversation and you've got to win. There's no two ways about it. And you probably need stars and play an exciting brand of whatever it is you play. If you have that, you will have relevance and people will talk about you. Even now, we're talking more about the Clippers. I guarantee you, and we are the home of the Clippers, and we're well aware of how the market skews. We know that. We don't make things up. We know what people listen to, and we know why they listen. That's our job, to know that kind of stuff. And I can tell you, even though we are giving the Clippers their due, and we should, I mean, this is a huge thing for them, there are people listening right now going, shut up. Shut the hell up. I don't care. Not one bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now. I know that. And we'll move off the Clippers in a second. But I know people are doing that right now, Rodney. So getting to the Western Conference Finals, great for the franchise. Does it make them any more popular in the market? My guess is no.
No. For a quick minute.
for, I mean, a quick minute. Like, yeah, okay, the minute's up.
They need the parade down Figueroa. Right? They need that parade going down Figueroa with red and blue and the Clipper writing and the Clipper Nation going crazy down. They need that visual for them going forward to have any kind of impact.
Right. And then people would take notice.
Yeah.
And then they could expand their footprint in the market a bit. And by the way, on the topic of the Clippers, see, you shouldn't have told me shut the hell up, because we want to send you to the game tonight. We want to send you to the game right now. 866-987-2570. We got a pair of tickets for the game tonight. The game where the Clippers can advance to the Western Conference Finals. Who wants to go? Rodney, what caller number are we taking?
We're taking number 7, Fred.
Okay, Kevin, open the line. 7th caller. You call, we'll put you on the air. You're going to the game tonight. Don't say thank you. It's our pleasure. Now, let's talk about the Lakers. Reports that, and obviously they have things they have to do. And one of those is maybe get a guard. We don't know what's going to happen with Dennis Schroeder. You know, the talk is to move Schroeder, you do a sign and trade. Okay. How about a sign and trade to get Kyle Lowry if he does a sign and trade? Now, that was the guy they looked at. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And decided against it because Talen Horton Tucker would have been included in that deal. I think Jeannie Buss said no. So that was the end of that deal for Kyle Lowry. And you go, well, Lowry's older, Schroeder's younger. What are you doing about the future? If you're a Laker fan, let me tell you what the future is. It's right now.
Yeah.
Every year LeBron plays is the future. Every year. He's getting older. You don't have the luxury of waiting 2 or 3 years. So you might have to mortgage some of your future, as they did with all those draft picks to get Anthony Davis, to try and win now. Do you think Kyle Lowry, a guy they were looking at, Rodney, could be the missing piece?
Oh, yeah, I think he could. And I think he would fit in great with the Lakers. And I said this, and we said this, you know, when there was talks of that back in the trade deadline. But, yeah, no, he is the right here, right now, still playing at a high level. Is a guy that's got what we always talk about, Fred, that we love. And, you know, we even, you know, when Eric's on, we talk about the guys that have that dog in them, and Kyle Lowry have that dog in them. And everybody talks about Kawhi as much as you want, and he was fantastic in that run in Toronto. But Kyle Lowry, as that other piece, that Robin to the Batman, was fantastic as well. And so, yes, he would, and you're right about the now. It is all about these next 2 years, three maybe, however long, but it's really about the next 2 years with LeBron, and can they win another one? You know, a lot of organizations would have said, okay, we mortgaged our future, we got Anthony Davis, and now, and we got our championship. So now let's blow it up. Let's start over again, because we did what we wanted to do. We got our champ, but not the Lakers. They're not that kind of Boston Red Sox. Got that championship. Now let's blow it all up. You know, got rid of all the guys and let's blow it up. No, Lakers are not like that. Let's go get another one. And while LeBron's here, they got to go aggressively get another one. And this is, the heat is on. And we said this, the heat is on Rob Pelinka a lot. You know, because we said it, everybody said it, that they had a great offseason last year. They won the offseason last year, but it didn't turn out that way.
No.
They actually lost the offseason.
Yeah.
Based on how guys played. And based on the guys they let go and what they did. So now you got to look back and go, that wasn't such a great offseason that the Lakers had and Rob Pelinka had.
Correct.
So now it is tremendously a lot of pressure on Rob Pelinka to pull something off. And it's not easy because of the salary cap situation that he got to do. They got to earn his money this summer.
Yeah, well, look at what the Clippers have done with their depth. And this year, they had a lot of depth. They were able to figure it out.
Yeah.
You have a Marcus Morris in there, right? I mean, Reggie Jackson has played like Mr. October. Let's call him Mr. June.
Right.
He's playing well. So they were able to do that. Rob Pelinka has two guys he's got to pay a lot of money to. They extended Kyle Kuzma, probably a bad decision. They paid KCP. Okay, Kevin loves him. You don't think he's bad. I don't like him. Doesn't matter. They're in bed with Clutch Sports. It's Rich Paul. So they'll sign all of his guys. That's another guy they could move. They had money. They paid Montrezl Harrell. That didn't work. They paid a guy they can't use. That was problematic. Somebody was not on the same page when they made that decision. So now Rob Pelinka has his work cut out for him. Kyle Lowry's a possibility. Here are two of the usual suspects when it comes to who's available, who they might be able to get at an affordable price. Reggie Bullock. God, we talk about Reggie Bullock 7,000 times. Hey, who's available? Reggie Bullock. Let's go get Reggie. Wayne Ellington. How many times have we talked? Wayne Ellington.
That's your guy, Wayne Ellington.
Every year, a guy that they should go get is Wayne Ellington.
You do realize that Reggie Bullock and Wayne Ellington were both Lakers previously, by the way.
Yes, I do. Bring it back. It'll be homecoming. So Rob Pelinka does have his work cut out for him. Hector in Irvine, how are you doing?
Good, Fred. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Good.
Hey, Hector, you're going to the game tonight. How about
yes!
that?
Yes!
Right on, man. Right on. I'm a Lakers fan, but I'm a big sports fan, so that's cool.
All right.
You know what, Hector? I like to hear you say that. You know what I mean? We talked about that, Fred, right? The Laker haters that hate the Clipper, don't want to see the Clipper do anything. Be an L.A. fan now that your team is out. Be an L.A. fan. I like that, Hector.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay, who are you taking to the game, Hector?
Probably my son.
Ah, great. How old is he?
16.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, that'll be kind of like a Father's Day gift. That's kind of cool.
That is great. That is fantastic. Well, have the best time tonight. And we really appreciate you listening.
Thank you, guys. Love the show. You guys are great.
Thanks, Hector. Hang tight. It's funny. He said he's going to take his son.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Rogan texted me about an hour ago. And he said, if the Clippers win tonight, will you get tickets so we can go to a game next week? He never says that. Ever.
Really?
Never. If the Clippers win tonight, will you get tickets so we can go next week?
Oh, nice.
I thought, okay. All right, I got some tickets and we'll go to a game because he wants to see the Clippers play. He wants to see them in person. Yeah. And he's a Laker guy, by the way.
That'll be a good matchup, too. I'm not getting ahead of myself, but the Clippers and the Suns, that'll be a fun matchup, fun series to watch. And you hope that everybody's healthy.
Yeah, we still don't know about
Chris Paul's out of protocol or whatever he's in. We'll figure that out. I guess tomorrow we'll get the information on that. But. Hopes and Kawhi comes back, so it's that both teams are at full strength, and it would be a very exciting Western Conference final.
Kevin, if the Clippers wrap it up tonight, do they start Sunday?
Game one will be Sunday in Phoenix, yes.
They will start Sunday.
Absolutely. Game one, if there's a game seven, then game one will be Tuesday in either Phoenix or Utah, depending on who wins the series.
So
Phoenix is hoping it's game.
Yes.
The Phoenix Clippers lose tonight.
They absolutely want a game seven on Sunday for the Clippers in Utah.
So it'll be Sunday, Tuesday if the Clippers win tonight.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that'll be fun. Later on this hour, we're going to play a little Who Dis?
Yeah.
Who wants some?
Never lost.
We'll give you the cue to call. We'll pop you on the air with Rodney and Ronnie on the Friday show where anything goes. Up next, we'll continue with our insider, Dan Wojcicki of The Times. He'll set the stage for tonight. We'll find out what else is going on in the playoffs.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Oh, yeah. You know what day it is. Friday, Fred.
We don't care.
No.
Well, we do care enough to bring on one of the great minds in basketball. That we do care enough to do. That person wasn't available, so we're going to bring on Dan Wojcicki at the time.
Whoa.
Well, hi, Dan.
Shots fired, Fred. How dare you? If it wasn't Friday, I would maybe be offended. And if I didn't agree with you, I would also maybe be offended. One of basketball's most mediocre minds, Dan Wojcicki.
Dan, I'm not going to stand here and hear Fred discredit you, downplay you, torture you, say bad things about you, Dan Wojcicki. I'm not going to allow it, Fred.
I will tell you this. I will. We don't need to pull the tape because I probably said it 700 times on your show over the last 700 weeks. I did predict that this would be a strange year of NBA basketball multiple times on this show.
You did.
And I feel very vindicated because it feels like every night I watch basketball games, things just get a little strange.
Well, let's talk about where the Clippers are tonight. This is, by far, the biggest game in their history. If they win, they will have accomplished something they've never done. It's not the biggest game in their history.
No. They've been in this position before.
But they haven't closed the deal.
Yeah, so it's like a handful of games that they've had before. equally big. But I think, sorry to interrupt you, was there a question? Or is it just talk about the game?
You just go ahead and take it. I mean, you started, you finished.
Sorry, Fred. No, I mean, look, it's a huge game, and this is sort of the high jump bar that's been like set that they've just never been able to clear. I say this as a former high jumper.
You are
a former Fosbury. I was, yeah. Fosbury's, wasn't very good at it.
Fosbury flop.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right. I have a very funny high jump story for you. But like the
you can tell it right now, Dan, you can tell the story okay. now.
Really quickly, sidetrack. So I'm in eighth grade and I qualified for the Illinois State, like junior high, whatever, like track and field tournament, and I qualified as a high jumper. Okay, like through some sheer weird luck, I'd finished in a good enough place in my conference, and I was able to do it. So my parents, they drive, 7 hours or whatever to like Southern Illinois for me to compete. We show up there. It's pouring rain. There's a delay. I come out and they're like, okay, the starting height is like 5'2". And this is like 6 inches higher than I've ever jumped before. And we've driven and I felt terribly guilty because I knew I was instantly going to be eliminated. And like, this has been a whole weekend trip. And so I kept passing on heights to advance further in the competition so my parents wouldn't feel like their time was wasted before I, like, some point just kind of just, like, jumping and, like, hitting the bar, like, with, like, my shoulders on the way up. Just, like, three times. And, like, my parents, like, what are you doing? I was like, I felt really good today, guys. I don't know. I just thought today was the day. It's like, I'm attempting world record heights. As a 5'2", 13-year-old. Yeah. So, anyway, that's
pass,
my high jump.
I'll pass on that. I'm passing on this height.
I'm like, wow, Dan's doing great. All these people have been eliminated.
I'll be over here napping. Let me know when you guys want to make it competitive for me, all right?
Yeah, just like, come on. It's like I'm sitting there, like, smoking a cigarette, sunglasses on, get my warm-up on. I'm like, nope, not this round. We're going up higher. So, anyways, I think, like, this has been, like the bar for the Clippers has been set here. It needs to be acknowledged that this is not a real goal. This cannot be a real goal, advancing to the conference finals. It is literally the halfway point. And I think it's been kind of this interesting, like, mythical thing, like, they have that they haven't achieved, that if somehow once they do it, it'll be like one of those 80s movies where, like, all the spirits from the Haunted Mountain will be released. Like, this is the halfway point. And I think it's important to keep that context in mind, regardless of what happens tonight, that the Clippers have bigger goals than today. And the goal is to win it all. And, this is just a step in that process.
Just a step in the process. Just a huge step in the process. I mean, throw it all in there, though, Dan. It's at home. They're trying to get a better footprint in the market in L.A. They got a chance to close it out to go to the Western Conference Final. And even outside of the Clippers. Okay, so it's not a big deal. The Clippers have been there before. What about Paul George? How big is this for Paul George?
I mean, this is a guy who's played in the conference. I mean, he's played deeper into the playoffs than this. I mean, it is a big deal. Look, right? I mean, I think it's a multifaceted thing, guys. On one hand, I feel like the Clippers have answered a lot of the questions people have had about them already, almost sort of like regardless of what happens. And, like, granted, look, if they lose the next two games, all of these good feelings will be forgotten because that's just how this sort of works. But down 2-0 to Dallas, I was talking to people around the league and stuff like that, and it's like you would hear like
Dan,
that team Dan, heartless.
Can I stop you a second?
Yeah.
You said they've already come down 2-0 to Dallas, and they come back and win. And Fred has said they're supposed to beat Dallas. They're supposed to beat Dallas.
Right.
It's like somebody going on a getting out in front of you. Oh, they got ahead 20 points because they made some shots, and you come back and win. Well, you're supposed to win that game. Everybody believed the Clippers were supposed to beat Dallas. They were supposed to beat them. So why are we looking at that as a crazy accomplishment?
No, it's not a crazy accomplishment, but like one of the big indictments of the Clippers around the league, at least over the last year and a half, or God, season and a half, so last 3 years, is that this team was a group of quitters, that they weren't tough mentally, that they didn't have heart, that they'd sacrificed heart and grit for stars, and they were too casual of a team. And while they may very well still be too casual, I think that they have proven that they have heart. I think that they have proven that they have toughness. And it's why maybe this year will be different. You know, who knows? Like, there is certainly an element of kind of like Lucy putting the football down right now, you know, in front of everybody, and Charlie Brown ready to make the kick. That is sort of there. That feeling has to be in the minds of every Clipper fan, just because they, like I said, like they have been in that. They were up 3-1 against Houston. You know, they were up huge in a 3-2 game against Houston. They were up 3-1 against Denver. They were 80 seconds away of going up 3-2 against Oklahoma City with a near double-digit lead before all hell broke loose in that game. Like, that's, like, the weird part of this, is that, like, even though all that stuff happened in some cases, you know, 8 years ago, it just still all feels at play. And it's the weirdest thing about the Clippers. It's just something that they deal with that really no other team in the NBA does. It's like their failures are just ever-present. And that's why tonight will be fun. If they beat that, it'll be fun for them to put that to rest at least for a little bit. But guess what? The bar goes up, because once you become the team that finally got to the conference finals, guess what you are? You're a team that never made it to the NBA finals.
Right.
Yes.
Right. All right, Dan, let's talk Lakers quickly. Kyle Lowry's name being kicked around again. Maybe they sign and trade him. Dennis Schroeder is sign and trade, and they try to flip him. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's interesting. I will say this. Kyle Lowry is an interesting sort of cultural fit. I think he is the type of player you would want on almost any team because of his toughness and his leadership and how vocal he is and stuff like that. On a team that already has LeBron James and Anthony Davis, is there room for a player like that? Kyle Lowry in the back seat of a situation doesn't seem like that would be the best use of Kyle Lowry. And I still think Dennis Schroeder is valuable to them because he is sort of like a bridge age, right? Like he's not on the downside of his career. He seemingly should be entering his prime. And yeah, he was pretty rocky last year, and it wasn't always a great fit. And again, I think it takes a lot to learn how to play with LeBron James, especially if you're a point guard, because LeBron James is, for all intents and purposes, a point guard too. So that's an adjustment. I just think it's like, I would wonder if you're taking a step backwards. And it's kind of like, look, like the Lakers were down this road sort of with Kyle Lowry already, and decided that it wasn't the right fit. Has so much changed. You know, obviously they're not in the playoffs, but I mean, I think the reason why they're not in the playoffs is because Anthony Davis wasn't healthy, because LeBron James wasn't fully healthy. I don't know that the calculus has changed on that.
Yeah. Do you think that, speaking of Dennis Schroeder specifically, because everybody got down on him, and they got down on him because he was on the world stage, and Lakers were without Anthony Davis, and everybody, you know, believed, and it was true, that they brought him in to be that third guy, that third scorer, that impact guy. If one of the two, LeBron or AD, goes down, he could pick up the slack, and it didn't happen. But sometimes in sports, you have that kind of year, and is it too early just to say, okay, one and done, let's give up on Dennis Schroeder? Because the body of work shows you that he can be that guy. Would the Lakers make a mistake in giving up on him too soon?
Well, and he was that guy in games 2 and 3, too, or 3 and 4, I forget. You know, he was that guy in some ways earlier in the series, too. I think it's hard to have real answers. And that's the tricky part in this, is that a lot of this is still born out of projection. And so much of the season, guys, was born out of projection. And that's the hard part, is that, you know, Frank Vogel and Rob Pelinka headed into this offseason with not having clear evidence to make these decisions, that a lot of it is speculative. And like, you do wonder, like, I mean, did we ever really see, you know, Andre Drummond, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Dennis Schroeder all together to know of whether or not that can be a core moving forward? Like, did we ever really see enough of it to make that decision? You know, the analytics people would say probably not. Some of the eye people would say, like, we looked at it, we didn't like it, you know? It's tricky. I think that Dennis Schroeder is better than the version that played in the first round of the playoffs that certainly ended it. Is he, quote-unquote, a third star? I don't know. I would guess probably not, to be totally honest. And then the question sort of becomes, like, what's the number that's palatable for a guy who isn't a third, quote-unquote, star? Is $20 million a year too much? Maybe not if that's a contract that helps you land an actual star, a year and a half from now when, you know, maybe some of your assets have become a little more realized and you have some first-round picks kind of back in the arsenal.
All right. Well, Dan, thanks for emptying your arsenal with all of your valuable information.
Guys, I'm going to go into a vegetative state right now. I've got nothing left in my brain. And I will wake up sometime refreshed on Monday.
All right, Dan. Have a good weekend. Thanks.
All right, guys. All right, be good. Have a good weekend.
Who's ready for the Friday version of Who Dis?
Come on!
866-987-2570. Here's the deal. You call first caller. Kevin will pick you up, put you on the air. You're playing Rodney and Ronnie next.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon Delight.
Yeah. Hey, I knew that I would eat back in high school at the lunch line. I think about it sometimes. War inside the mind, I was 10 toes.
Oh, let's do it on a Friday. Because we don't care. Verses become difficult and hooked. Today's Afternoon Delight is Penthouse Prayers by Bobby Sessions. The Dallas native dropped this track along with 11 others as part of his new album entitled Manifest, which debuted last week. Fresh off of winning his first Grammy for co-writing Megan Thee Stallion's Savage track, Sessions tabbed multiple artists to deliver features on the album, including Freddie Gibbs, The Cray, Benny the Butcher, and Rick Ross, who appears on this track. When describing the album, he said, "That is the sound of people manifesting their dreams," and also boasted that it will be the best album of 2021. Again, today's Afternoon Delight is Penthouse Prayers by Bobby Sessions featuring the boss, Rick Ross.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette.
Who is this guy?
This is who I am.
Who is this guy?
Who dis?
Hey, tune into the Extra Innings podcast, hosted by David Vassay, available on the iHeartRadio app, and presented by Corona Extra. Corona Extra is celebrating the return of Major League Baseball with exclusive interviews and insider looks around the boys in blue. Find the fine life. Please drink responsibly. David in Rancho Cucamonga, you ready to go?
Let's do it, Fred. I'm ready.
Come on, man.
Come on, David.
Come on.
Come on. How's things in Rancho Cucamonga?
I'm going to get you today, Rodney. I promise.
All right, then.
There you go.
All right. I like it. I like it. All good in Rancho Cucamonga?
All good, brother. Feels good. It's a little warm, but nice.
Cool. Rodney, right, you ready?
Feeling good. Rogan and Rodney, let's play.
Let's go. When you know it, yell it out. No restrictions Roger. Today. I was the fourth overall pick in the 1999 NBA draft.
99.
Who is this guy?
I was the sixth man of the year in 2011.
Lamar Odom.
Rodney, good start.
Yeah.
Good start.
Okay, thank you, Lamar. Okay. Yeah.
David's not going to take that sitting down.
Hey, that was a tough one. Not gonna lie.
No, that's all right. You're in the game, man. Let's go. Thought that one was tough. Okay. I was the third overall pick in the 1982 NBA draft.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Oh, wow.
Third pick?
Yeah, David, were you born in 82?
I was born in 91, Fred.
Okay.
Michael Jordan,
no.
Dawson Young!
That's Kenny Smith.
Kenny Smith, no.
It is no good.
Give you another clue. Yeah, you might get it by the end if you hang in for all the clues if nobody gets it here, David. I made nine All-Star teams, led the league in scoring once, and won the dunk contest twice.
Vince Carter.
Dawson Young!
Yes.
Who is this guy?
Dominique Wilkins.
Dominique Wilkins.
Rodney. Oh, God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, David, if we got to the
you
final.
You knew I knew it. I just couldn't get it out, Freddie.
I know. But if we got to the final clue, David, the human highlight reel, would you have known it was Dominique Wilkins?
Yes.
No, I would have not. I wouldn't have known that.
How old are you, David? How old are you, may I ask?
29.
He's too young.
Let's change eras here. Let's go a little bit later in the year, you know?
All right. You might know this.
I want you to change up the questions. Use that side B question, Fred.
I'm looking at
alternative questions that Kevin put in your hand.
There's a couple of them he's going to be able to get here. All right. Next one. I made 11 All-Star teams in my MLB career.
Who is this guy?
I won two World Series titles.
Alex Rodriguez.
Ooh. No, senor!
Two. Who you got, David?
Two.
Albert Pujols.
No good!
Two.
Yeah.
World Series titles.
Who is this guy?
I won seven Cy Young Awards and led the MLB in ERA seven times.
Oh, wow. How many Cy Youngs?
Seven.
Greg Maddux.
And it is no
good. You won seven Cy Youngs?
Yep.
Roger Clemens.
Rodney. It's Roger Clemens.
Correct. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Can I sit back on a Friday and relax now, Fred? This is a wrap.
No, you get one more and it's over. One more. Nobody can catch you.
Nobody can catch me now, Freddie.
Never lost.
Never have, David. Never have. Ole.
Come on, Daddy. Settle down.
Kevin.
Stop, Fred, please.
Thanks, Dad.
I was the 23rd overall pick in the 1998 NBA draft.
Oh, no, come on, man.
No, you'll get this one by the end.
Kobe Bryant.
No, senor!
Why was that a cheer?
No.
98. Cheer.
Oh.
All right, I won two NBA titles with the Lakers.
And it is no good.
Robert Dorth.
How about you?
Pau Gasol.
No good!
I won one NBA title as a head coach.
Ooh.
Luke Walton.
No, senor!
You said that.
Ty Lue.
What, David, go ahead. What were you going to say?
What was that? I'm sorry, I missed that last clue. What was that last clue?
I won one NBA title as a head coach, and Rodney said Ty Lue, and Rodney is correct.
This might be a shutout on a Friday.
We don't have anybody pitch a perfect game very often. You did the last one.
I know.
I think we've had two.
The era is not right, man. Come on, man.
I know.
Set up for failure here.
Yeah, no, Kevin. I got to tell you, Kevin does such a great job putting these together every day. But we got to mix eras in here. So if we get somebody like David.
Really? So you want to put out there, this who dis is only for people born from 1960 to 1972.
No, but I'm saying...
Is that what you want Kevin to do, Fred?
No, but what I'm saying is I think David has a valid point. You know...
Exactly.
You have Lamar Odom and Dominique Wilkins. We have to have somebody a little more current so everybody can...
Lamar Odom is not current. He only retired like 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, David, take
only
that.
6-7 years.
Yeah, what are you, 29, David? I mean, if you were watching the Lakers, you saw Lamar Odom play and win championships with the Lakers in your lifetime, brother. Come on.
I definitely watched him play, but when he was drafted, that was old, man.
I mean, there's something to be said for knowing history. Look, I sure as hell didn't watch John Kundla coach the Minneapolis Lakers.
There you go,
but
Kevin.
I know who he is. I know my Laker history.
That's and you'll way be better off for the knowledge that you've gained.
Exactly. Use it as that's a great point, Ronnie. Use it as a learning experience. Nothing wrong with that.
Not I got it.
I don't think David needs to sit here and be lectured.
Why not?
That's all right.
I'm not going to sit
here.
He's
not being lectured, Freddie. He's not being lectured. He being schooled because it's 4-0.
Oh, man.
You know, the last two, you definitely would have seen play.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I've made six All-Star teams in my MLB career.
Who is this guy?
Mike Piazza.
No good!
Albert Pujols.
No, senor!
I won the AL Cy Young Award in 2009?
Justin Verlander.
How about new?
Ooh.
2009, AL Cy Young.
AL.
Who is this guy?
AL. AL.
I hold, yes.
You said AL.
I said AL.
Are you saying AL?
I said AL. I hold the Dodgers record for lowest single-season ERA by a starting pitcher at 1.66.
AL Beckett. Pitcher.
Beckett.
And it is
that's,
no
that's
good.
That's it right there. No? Oh, okay.
Well, who'd you have, David?
No. I thought it was Josh Beckett. 2009, Cy Young, yeah. AL.
Yeah, I did too.
Zach Greinke.
Zach Greinke. Ronnie.
Zach Greinke.
Wait a minute. Now, why is that annoying? It was Zach Greinke.
What was it? What would he do with AL? Won a Cy Young with the
Cy
AL?
Cy Young with the Kansas City Royals.
That's right. That's right.
Man.
All right, last one. You got a shot here. No, you do. You're good. You're good. Come on, David.
I got a shot to not get shut out. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's go. I won 4 NBA titles in my soon-to-be Hall of Fame career.
LeBron James.
No, senor!
Wait, how many titles?
4.
4 titles.
And it's soon-to-be
Hall of Fame career.
Steph Curry? No, he didn't win 4.
That's all right.
It is no good.
I was a 2-time All-Star and the 6th Man of the Year in 2008.
2008. 6th Man of the Year.
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
I led Argentina to a gold medal in the 2000.
Manu Ginobili.
Ginobili.
Well, everybody got it.
Got it.
I'm not sure who it was, Kevin.
That's a close one between Ronnie and Rodney. David got in there a little bit late.
Check it.
I'm pretty sure I was right there, man. It's the delay here with the phone call.
I'm pretty sure you weren't.
I love it, David. I love it. Check it.
We're gonna check it, David. We're gonna let you hear. Make sure.
Run it back.
I want 5 spot.
Here we go. I led Argentina to a gold medal in the 2000.
Manu.
Rodney got in first.
Rodney got it. Okay.
Yeah. Manu. Yeah.
Hey, David. Hey. Well,
I'm talking too much trash, man.
Nah, yeah, that's man. All right. That's all right.
Yeah.
We like it.
You know what I mean?
We like it.
That's all right, man.
Get too close to the fire, you're going to get burnt.
Hey, that's all right, man. I got taken to school on a Friday. I'm okay with that.
Hey, you know why?
Because
on Friday, we don't care, David. So you did it. You got school today. No big deal. Try again.
I appreciate the session, guys. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.